Happy Saturday, Tappers. Championship week, loaded college basketball day. Good day to do absolutely nothing and just watch college hoops. We are here. It is Saturday, March 10th. You can find us, SnowTapWI, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Subscribe to us on iTunes and Google Play as well. We do have a website, SnowTapWI. So that is where you can find us. We have a loaded Saturday show again. So no rest for the wicked with Demarius Randle being dealt. We'll talk about that. We'll also look at the Bucks win over the Knicks. They kind of break the streak, get rolling a little bit, and then talk about how all that here today. First of all, with Demarius Randle, it was late Friday afternoon. I'm like getting ready to go out, have dinner with the girlfriend and some friends. And Demarius Randle gets traded. And out of the blue, he's traded to the Browns. No one really saw it coming. I guess there were some rumors around the combine that it might actually happen. But it was really caught, I think, myself and a lot of Packer fans off guard that Demarius Randle would get dealt. The fact he's probably one of the best corners on the team. And he gets dealt to the Browns for DeShone Kizer, of all people. So it was an interesting trade to take in. It kind of sometimes takes a little time, I think, with trades especially, to really think, what did you get back for it and what does it matter? And the Packers have been so hit or miss when it comes to getting rid of their corners. You've seen good moves like getting rid of Devon House and Tremont Williams, but you've also seen bad moves like Casey Hayward and Micah Hyde, who both excelled after they played with the Packers. So who knows with what Demarius Randle brings. So it definitely caught people off guard a little bit. And I tend to agree. I mean, he was the best corner on our team last year. And at times it looked like at the end of the year, especially, that he was a supreme player and he was the top player on this defense. Now, I wouldn't say top player, but top player in the secondary for sure. So he kind of thought like him and Kevin King were the future of this secondary. But, you know, we have to remember that he always did have some issues with the coaching staff. He walked out on the Bears game. Mitch and I described him as a shithead at times during the year, that kind of like everybody needs a shithead, but he's our shithead, so it's okay. That was sort of how we described Demarius Randle, which wasn't – he's a playmaker for sure. He's had 12 interceptions in the last 3 years, but there were some problems with him. Ben Fennell, who is a Packer fan, but he's also a film guy, does a bunch of stuff for the Eagles, NFL Network, ESPN, but he's a must-follow on Twitter. That's what I was trying to get to. He pointed out with this awesome thread, basically pointing out how Randle struggled, especially on with big plays around the field, in the slot, no desire to kind of be a big hitter. And so there were some real issues with Randle as a cornerback. So maybe Mike Pettine, you know, I think Brian Gutekunst said that the coaching staff would be involved in these decisions. And I'm sure Pettine and McCarthy went through this defensive roster especially and said, okay, here are the guys I like. Here are the guys I'm not so sure about. Here are the guys that I don't see them fitting with my defense. And I feel like Randle was probably a victim of that, that Pettine said, I don't really see a future with Randle. I see myself having some trouble with him. And that's part of the reason why I think the Packers thought we'd get value for him. He was going to be a free agent next season. It was probably going to be hard to pay him with all the other guys that Green Bay has to pay next season, including the quarterback. I think that was a wise move by Gutekunst. We'll see if it works out. I actually really like the idea of DeShone Kizer coming to the team. Not because I think DeShone Kizer has a ton of potential. I think it's just smart to add a backup quarterback in a trade situation instead of trading for one. Basically, you added an extra draft pick without actually drafting him. So they probably needed to add a quarterback in the draft. There was no question about that. Brett Hundley didn't really look like he was the answer, but it saves the team a draft pick and it lets the new quarterback coach develop somebody. And then if Kizer looks good in the preseason, that they can potentially trade him before the secret gets out again. I mean, granted, they have what he did in the rookie, but they can talk to teams about, yeah, this guy's a different quarterback. And so that could be a really beneficial thing for the team, and definitely lets them have a new guy. And Kizer's a lot of fun. Like he's definitely a good teammate. He seems like a decently good guy. I think he'll definitely add an element to the Packer locker room, and him and Rodgers, I would imagine, develop quite the relationship. And Green Bay, and going back to the cornerback position, Green Bay, no surprise, is already talking with guys like Richard Sherman, but there's a ton of corners out there. And I think that's part of the other point about Pettine. Pettine said, look, there are guys out there that I really like. There are guys in the draft too. But yeah, Breland, they just announced, the Redskins did, that he will no longer be on the team. So he's a 26-year-old corner that could have some potential. You have Tremaine Johnson from the Rams, who Los Angeles, not St. Louis, has no desire to bring back after getting Marcus Peters and Aqib Talib and Sam Shields for that matter. And then you have Malcolm Butler from the New England Patriots. We already know that bridge is burned. I think I saw numbers for Butler around like 4 years, $30 million. Aaron Colvin's another name from the Jacksonville Jaguars who could be available. So there are corners on this market, and I think Green Bay is planning to make some moves. Tremont Williams is another one. I know that's kind of crazy, and he's a retread. I don't think Tremont Williams is the first guy you bring back, but he's someone who excelled in Patton's system, and I definitely think there might be some interest to bring Tremont back. So the Packers have a lot of sort of moves to make. I don't think that this was that bad of a deal when you just take it all in and you don't instantly react. Sometimes we're so quick to just be like, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening, to let's just take a minute, let's think about it, and then see what's there. I do think this probably means the end for Brett Hundley. I don't really see a future for Hundley on this team. I think Packers know what they had, and the fact that he was still underprepared, according to McCarthy in his combine press conference a couple weeks ago, that he's done. Like, I don't think Hundley's going to be back on this team. I think he'll probably land somewhere, because every team needs quarterbacks, and they just end up going to different places. Moving forward to the NBA, the Milwaukee Bucks got themselves a victory. They won 120-112 against the New York Knicks. Game that I mentioned on the podcast yesterday and a couple days prior about how it was a little worrisome, just from the fact that the Bucks had to, you know, change gears, right? They've been playing all these playoff teams. They've been playing these really competitive basketball games, and then you get the Knicks, who've lost 13-14. Bucks came in as a 10-point favorite into this game, and they had to sort of change their mode, and it almost felt a little bit like it took them a while to get to that point. And then the fourth quarter, they sort of turned it on. I'm not advocating for that. I'm not saying you can do that against every team, but against the Knicks, you definitely can. And maybe that's the fundamental problem with the Bucks, is they think they can turn it on against anybody, and that's really not the case. And they came on strong. Giannis finished with 28, 10, and 5, which is a solid outing from Giannis. Definitely quiet. He was quiet until that fourth quarter, where he really showed through. I mean, Chris Middleton, great game with 30. He was definitely the offensive focus. Good to see Mids going again. Not surprising Mids gets going against a shitty team. That is sort of his brand, and he definitely is sticking to it. Good bench support as well. Tyler Zeller, Sterling Brown, and Jabari Parker all in double figures. Sterling Brown had 7 rebounds and 11 points. Zeller, 12 and 6. Zeller is making a case more and more to be a starter on this team. I think he works better with Giannis. I don't know if they think it's going to screw up John Henson's psyche, because John Henson, you know, has this weird thing about being a starter, and maybe it's just they actually have developed a bench unit, which is really encouraging when you think once Brogdon comes back, who's probably going to go in the starting rotation for Tony Snell, because Tony Snell has been a goddamn ghost for two or three weeks, and Matthew Dellavedova, they actually are forming quite a good team, and that's I think that's something we have to think about, you know, and we talked about this yesterday. You can go back and listen to it about sort of how fans need to relax when you look at the overall makeup of the Bucks, is that once they hit the playoffs, they're going to have a fully loaded roster and really have a first and second unit that I think you can rely on. And Zeller is a guy that has basically been missing from the Bucks all season. And that's the player that they needed Thon Maker to be. And Thon clearly wasn't that. He had another DMP coach's decision, that second straight. I think the Bucks might be putting Thon on ice for the rest of the year. I don't really know how much Thon can play. I think it's clear that he's shook. It's clear that he needs some time in the G League maybe, and just needs to really get back to basics, because it's definitely an issue for him. Also a funny moment, the Giannis and Eric Bledsoe moment at the beginning of the game. They win the tip. Giannis basically hikes the ball to Bledsoe, who then does a push-up. Joe Parrini was not about it, was not happy with Giannis. And Joe Parrini just needs to relax, man. Like, take a fucking joke one time for me, Joe. It's the Knicks. It's not like they were playing the Cleveland Cavaliers and doing that. I thought it was fun. I think that's something the Bucks should do. But Parrini's like, nope, I've talked to him. It's the last time they're going to do it. It's like, okay, Joe took it a little too seriously. Like, we can take a joke every now and again. We can have a little fun, and they are, and they do that. So also another thing, I mean, Bucks, I guess, were kind of unhappy in general about small nuanced things. Like, Giannis was unhappy that the Bucks Pro Shop made a t-shirt of him dunking over Tim Hardaway Jr. So it seems like this will not be in market for very long, which means that I need this t-shirt, because if it's not going to be in market, it's going to be kind of a rare collectible. It almost makes me mad I didn't go to the game last night to get one of these t-shirts. Now, Grant, I don't think I would have actually bought it, because I'm kind of a cheapskate and just, I say I'm going to do things and then just doesn't happen. So the fact that I'm like, I need this shirt, it's mostly because I know that it's not going to be around and it's going to become a rare collector's item. So maybe something to look at in the pro shop. We will talk tomorrow, talk all things about the potential bracket and if Marquette makes it alive. All right. Take care, guys. Have a good one. Bye.